Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen and the Capital City Recap.
Good evening. It is Wednesday. It is cloudy and 62. Great to have you here with us on 1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. Tonight we'll hear from a man who used to be an Islamic extremist himself and now is one of the leading experts in the world on radicalization. We'll be here to talk about what we've learned about the Manchester bomber. Very disturbing news. Also, we had a lot of coverage about President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia, but the media all said almost nothing about the secret connections that for 46 years have kept our two nations linked in a special, mutually dependent relationship. Tonight, you'll find out all about it. Let's begin with the news. Actually, just broke this afternoon. The Congressional Budget Office rating and analyzing the American Health Care Act that was passed by the House. And not so such good news. They say 23 million more Americans will lose their insurance under the plan, and it will reduce the deficit by $119 billion. Let's talk about that and a case that could completely sink Obamacare. Roger Abramson with us, healthcare insurance expert at Ameriflex. It's myameriflex.com. Roger, great to have you on WILS.
Oh, thanks for having me again. For a split second, I thought I was the former Islamic extremist. I was like, I don't think that's me. Later on.
Coming up next. Yeah, that's quite a story. Hey, Roger, first of all, this news this afternoon, the Congressional Budget Office, their analysis, 23 million more Americans without insurance. What does that do to the plan?
It's one of those things that, again, whatever number they come up with this version of this bill, I think everybody generally agrees that people will not have, or more people will not have health insurance, whether they lose it or by choice or whatever. So we're kind of arguing about numbers. Depending on what side you're on, you can say, oh, it's terrible. Some people will say, oh, well, that's okay. It's their choice. On the CBO, though, with those numbers, the number that I look at every time they do this, I mean, they did it a couple months ago, too, is what everybody kind of overlooks, is the number that if we do nothing, what happens to the uninsured? And if you keep the ACA in place as it is, you still are going to have, this is the CBO's own estimate, over the next 7 or 8 years, still 1 out of 10 Americans without insurance. Now, that's not to say that the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare, cut that number in half, the original number, or roughly about 17-18%. But if we do nothing, you still have 1 out of 10 Americans, that's about 32 million Americans, who will not have health insurance.
Yeah, how does that make sense, though? Because this plan, the Obamacare, is supposed to provide insurance for everyone. Why would we?
Because people are simply not going to get it. They don't go get it. And a lot of these folks are, this is a generalization, but a lot of these folks are the so-called young and healthy, young invincibles, you know, the single guys and, you know, the women and so forth who don't really bother with it. There's a penalty, but I mean, you know, the IRS isn't even going to enforce the penalty.
Right,
now.
But what Democrats are saying is part of the reason that we're going to see more under the American Health Care Act is that states are going to be able to opt out of covering pre-existing conditions. Do you agree that that's a big part of it?
I have to say, I do agree that that's part of it. This bill, in my view, and it's a personal view, not anybody else's, does not completely resolve what I do believe is the central problem of American health care and that both parties have struggled with, and that is the pre-existing condition problem. It removes, I don't care anybody wants to slice it or not, it removes the requirement that insurers cover all pre-existing conditions. What it does is sort of kind of penalizes you a little bit. If you drop your insurance for a while, you could pay a higher premium and so forth to accommodate that. But the thing about that, though, is then they threw in a whole bunch of money to help states pay for those folks to do that. So what is your incentive to not keep your insurance? We have that same problem. So, yeah, I think that's the holy grail, as I like to call it, of American health care. If they could solve that, we would have a lot of this solved.
Okay, but wasn't there a plan that they'd be bundled, all these people with existing conditions who could somehow bundle together to get coverage for themselves?
Yeah, sort of roughly the term, generally speaking, is like a risk pool those lines for each state. And what happens in those cases, though, that I actually happen to live in Tennessee, which is one of the first states to experiment with this about 20 years ago, something called 10-care you might have heard of. But what happened was it started off as a pretty good deal for a couple of years, but then carriers would start dumping folks off. They'd say, well, you don't have to worry about us. You can just go over to the risk pool. Mm-hmm. And then it just became sort of this black hole of money, and carriers didn't want to cover anybody else. I'm not pointing my finger at carriers. Their job is to make money.
So what eventually happened to that plan then in Tennessee?
Just completely, it died. We had a new governor came in, Governor Bredesen, who ironically is a former HMO executive owner, and he just basically finally just killed all of 10 care. And that was in the mid-2000s, so he just, you know, took care of it. But then Obamacare came about, and he was actually one of the biggest opponents of it, and he's a Democrat at the time because of some of the issues. That's something that was little noticed. But again, we've got to solve that pre-existing condition issue. The CBO, you know, again, everybody says, well, it's just an estimate. Well, of course it is. Right. But no one argues, I don't think, that you're going to have fewer people covered with health insurance.
Right. Well, it sounds like either plan's going to have its issues. Roger Abramson with us with Ameriflex. It's myameriflex.com right here on WILS. So this court case, the Trump administration decided to ask the court to put this on hold. This deals with Obamacare, the cost-sharing subsidies, and the money they're providing to insurance companies. Now, how, if this was to be ruled on, how could this basically take down Obamacare in one foul swoop?
Well, ironically, this started as a case against the Obama administration. House Republicans, led by John Boehner, is sort of a compromise with some of the Freedom Caucus and folks, said, let's do this. Let's challenge the idea, these subsidies that need to go to states to help goes to carriers to help cover their losses for higher cost sharing. We'll challenge that on very interesting legal grounds that was not appropriated by the House. Now, long time past, courts were just usually throwing that out, and so that's a political question. This district court said, you know what, you guys have a point here, and then it went up to the appellate court. And, of course, the Obama administration said, no, we're going to keep making these payments. But what happened? We have a new election, new administration. So whereas before we had House Republicans versus basically the Obama administration, it's now House Republicans against the Trump administration. And the Trump administration is saying, well, here's what we're going to do. We want to kick this can down the road another 90 days and keep those payments going to those carriers because they'll fall apart without it and hopefully resolve something in the meantime.
It's $7 billion a year. So what are you saying? Do you believe the Trump administration is going to want to somehow continue the subsidy payments?
I think what they're going to do, and this is what they've asked for, is they've asked the court to say, we want a 90-day stay. In other words, kick it down 90 days, and we'll deal with it in whenever that is, in August, in the hopes that what they're hoping for is we get something resolved in the meantime. Because you got to understand, if the Trump administration capitulates, that means the district court ruling stands, and those payments end right now.
What happens then if that happens?
The carriers will just fall apart. Without those payments, and you said the number, $7 billion, they will probably just, there will be a couple of them that just collapse tomorrow. And the Trump administration knows that. I'm not usually big on being overly dramatic, but I'm not in this case. But I think in the Trump world right now, they're saying, fine, let's kick this down the road 90 more days. Okay. By then, we should have a health care plan in place, and we can take care of this.
Okay, and you're saying the plan that, really, and you think within 90 days we'll see something come out of the Senate and be ready to be signed by President Trump?
I don't know if I'd place bets on that. 90 days is probably just sort of, it's short enough to that the court will say okay, but long enough to maybe get something done. But I don't think if they don't get something done, I'm sure they will just ask for another 90 days is what they're going to do. But I think they're just gambling and hoping that they're going to have something done by the end of the summer.
Yeah, is this the kind of thing that makes the carriers nervous, would you say? Or how do you think they're viewing this whole thing?
They are, carriers basically have lived nervous over the past couple of years and over the past couple of months. They just don't know what's going on. No one really does. They don't have a lot of leverage one way or the other. They're already putting their plans together, already have, for 2018, based on this lack of knowledge. They wake up every day, and I'm being very general here, going, probably looking at the paper like the rest of us and going, what am I going to do next? What are we going to do? Are these payments going to end? I don't think Donald Trump is going to let those payments stop no matter what. Those will probably just keep going. He knows, well, at least his advisors know, and he probably does too, that you cut that spigot off. There's no one even really for them to blame politically because it's the House Republicans who brought the suit. So you can't really blame on the Democrats, and I think they understand that. So hopefully they'll come up with something in the meantime.
Roger Abramson, healthcare insurance expert, Roger Abramson at Ameriflex. Find him at myameriflex.com. Roger, it's been enlightening as always. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We will talk again.